We're continuing in the Drashot Taran. Hinei Nitba'er, page Kuf Tzadi Chet in the Musad Rav Kook edition, and page Ayin Bet in the Shalem edition. Hinei Nitba'er, ki ha-machshava ba'avodat Hashem Yitbarach uv'kiyum mitzvotav, hi pri ha-mitzvah v'shorosh ha-avodah. We've explained that the fruit of the mitzvah, the root of our service, is where do our thoughts lie. Now we go to the flip side. What about sin? We were talking about mitzvos. We said that the root of mitzvos is in the heart. Now, what about sin? So, he shore shameri. The root of sin and rebelliousness is in the heart. This is what the Talmud tells us in Tractate Yuma. The thoughts about sin are more difficult than the sin itself. The thoughts, a person's thoughts, a person's fantasies. That's why there's such a great market for pornography. Because the thoughts, the capacity of the mind, goes far beyond the capacity of the person. And although Maimonides has a nice explanation in his Guide to the Perplexed, Amar v'shatam mipnei shehamamret Hashem itbarach machshavto mamre b'chelk ha'yoter nechbad shebo. Maimonides says the logic is that if you sin with a simple limb, that's one thing, but if you use the most complex limb that God gave you, you use your mind to sin, so then that's a greater sin. If you sin physically, so that's a lighter sin simply because you used a less intricate tool. Yeshli bezein yanacher. He says that's a nice explanation Maimonides gave, but I have another explanation. Vehu, and that is as follows. If you have someone who repeatedly sins and does not do tshuva, so then undoubtedly there's something that leads him down that road time and again. There's something in his heart, there's something in his mind that keeps leading him astray. If not so, then how come he's willing to pass up on something so precious, the eternal reward, for something that's a fleeting pleasure? So you have to say that the root of it all is in his heart. There's something in his heart that's leading him astray. And this is where we divide the different types of wicked people. You have one person who his sins are rooted in the fact that he doesn't believe in God's existence. So, says he doesn't exist. I can do what I want. Kmo shamar katuv, as the verse says, "Manaval b'libon Elokim." When the derelict says there is no God, so then ishchitu itivu alilai nosetov. Then they could become even more sinful and more decrepit because there's no room to do good because God isn't in the picture. Uperusho ki me'asher manaval b'libon Elokim. So the verse says once he comes to that conclusion that there is no God, umafkir tzmo la'avirot kulan. So then he says, okay, so I can do whatever I want. So we have sinner type 1 says God doesn't exist. Sinner type 2 says, well, God exists, but he's not following what's going on here. I can get away with it. He's not really watching over. As King David says, why has the wicked one blasphemed? Because he figures, God, you're never going to take him up for it. You're never going to take him to task for it. And like those who say in Ezekiel, God's left the earth. He's not really following what's going on here. So that's type 2. Type 3. The third type is a person that says, okay, God exists. He knows what I'm doing, but he's never going to pay me back for it. He doesn't get involved. He knows, but he's not involved. So they have all kinds of claims that this is so, and that's why they let themselves get away with whatever they like.
Is there any difference between those three?
We'll see. Hu shamar katuv, cho achala biyad shikor, umashal befik silim. Rav mecholel kol v'socher kesil v'socher overim. Perush. The verse one. Okay. The verse says in Mishlei, "Kasher hashikor omed ben hashoshanim," when you have a drunk who's standing between roses, "Lifamim choshev lilkot shoshan," he thinks to himself, "Let me pick a rose," but he's drunk. "Vole biyado choach," and then he could end up with a thorn instead of the rose. He's drunk. So King Solomon said the following allegory: "Choach." The drunk will sometimes end up with the thorn and without the rose. Keni nanaksil, by the same token, the fool, shu choshev lamshin meshalim moilim kasher kiven bamshalim liyasher hanefesh. Sometimes the fool will also try to bring allegories to prove his point, and he thinks he's doing a good job, he's proving his point. V'tachat mashal moil maleb yado choach u'mashal machiv. And instead of really supporting himself with the proofs he tries to bring, he's really like the drunk who tries to prick a rose and ends up with a thorn. He's hurting himself. And that's what when the verse says, he says repeatedly, that's like we say in the Mishnah, "Magila bepumei, ki Hashem yitbarach ashohu mecholel kol, rav meod maaseu, eno makpid ben ovdav leovrei mitzvotav." So, what does the fool say? Moshel befi kesilim. Mashal befi kesilim. The following allegory is repeated by the fool. He says, Rav mecholel kol, the masterful one who created everything, doesn't care what I do. He's not going to pay me back. Aval hakol etzlo shaveh v'socher kulam. But by him, everything's okay. V'socher ksil v'socher overim. Or ovdim. What the fool says is, in God's mind, you think there's a difference if you do this type of life or that type of life? Like people say, what do those tzitzis do for you? Tell me, you think you're a better person just because you wear tzitzis? You think God cares if you wear a yarmulke? You think God cares if you eat kosher? So that's the Shlomo HaMelech already said, just like a drunk could mean to pick a rose and end up with a thorn, so too the fools think they're going to prove their point and they say all these claims, when really it's like picking thorns in their hand. So he says, that's a third type of sinner. That's a person who says, we're all the same in God's eyes. You think he really cares what type of life you lead? Wait, I don't know if you guys, I've heard this often. You know, you think God really cares? Yeah, God really cares. He gave us the Torah, he gave us mitzvahs, he really cares. So those are the three types of directions a person takes, which ultimately leads him to transgressing everything. So you see, when it comes to sin, the root of it all is some thought that's a denial of God's presence. That's why our sages said, the sinful thoughts are more harsh than the sin itself. Because a sin is one sin. But the thoughts, well, that's the root of transgressing everything. Because a person can't lead a sinful life unless he leaves Hashem out of the picture. The only way he could is if he's an absolute fool. But any intelligent person has to work it out philosophically. So this is what our sages meant when they said, the Talmud says, a person only sins if he was enveloped by a spirit of foolishness. What they meant to say is, you can't really sin if you've thought about what you're doing. You can't really sin unless there's an element of denial in some of the tenets of Jewish, of the Torah. Ki ze lo yikare over avira levad, aval min ve'apikores. Ve'lachen, ביותו נמלט מזה, אי אפשר שיעבור עבירה, אלא אם כן נכנסה בו רוח שטות. So a person stands with the following contradiction. The Ran is saying a beautiful thought here. He says, the Talmud tells us a person doesn't sin unless a spirit of foolishness envelops him. Now, We just explained that at the root of sin there has to be a certain denial of some basic tenet of Jewish thought. So a person stands in contradiction. He's standing there and he wants to buy the chocolate bar that's not kosher. So he knows, what's he going to say? God's not watching, God doesn't care, God doesn't exist. He believes God exists. He knows, he believes God's watching. He believes God cares. But he also wants the chocolate bar. So now there's this internal struggle. And when the chocolate bar wins, when he ends up eating the chocolate bar, so what's really happening, that's why Chazal called it a spirit of foolishness. Because you'll ask him, do you believe God really watches and God really cares? He won't say no. The Gemara is not talking about someone who's an apostate. Yeah, an apostate said God doesn't care, God doesn't know, God, fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about me and you and the average Joe who does things that are wrong. So then what happens when we do something that's wrong? If we know that God said not to, and we know the Torah prohibits it, and we know God cares and He's going to pay back, so then how do we do that? That's where our sages said, that's the spirit of foolishness. That's fleeting, where we give ourselves some kind of excuse. Yeah, but, well, maybe we say something. You'll ask me philosophically, do I really believe what I said? No. But then why did I do it? That's the shtut. That's the foolishness. I know I'm inconsistent. I know I'm doing actions which I don't really believe I should be doing it, but I want to do it. So how come you're doing what you want and not what you believe? That's the ruach shtut. That's why our sages called it foolishness. Because you'll ask the person, is there a philosophy behind what you did? No, there's no philosophy. Philosophically, I believe I shouldn't have done that. You guys with me?
Yeah, it sounds more than foolishness to me.
So what would you call it?
I don't know. It's very, you know, you should not do it.
We all know.
Potentially, you know, Hashem exists.
We know. When we say Lashon Hara, we know.
Of course.
Well, when we say something that's hurtful to someone, we know. Maybe, but maybe it's also it's a weakness. But that's the idea. That's why it's called ruach shtut. Of course, it's yetzer hara. But that's why our sages worded it that way. It's foolishness, because it's not smart. It's not consistent, and it's not me. And that's why tshuva is so easy, because at the end of the day, you'll ask me, "Who am I?" I'm not the person who did that. I'm really someone else. I want to be someone else. I believe in other things. So then how come I did that? That's not me. But it's difficult because I know that tomorrow I'm going to be facing the same challenge and I might do that again. Stop. So that's where we have to change it. We have to. You'll ask me who I am. What do I believe in? I believe that Hashem gave the Torah. I believe in 613 mitzvot, and I believe I have to live up to them. So then how come I fell and I ate that chocolate bar yesterday? I'm saying the same person who ate the chocolate bar, if you'll ask him what he believes in, he also believes he shouldn't have eaten the chocolate bar. That's why Chazal call it a ruach shtut. We all know that there are those times when we do something wrong and it's in contradiction with what we really believe.
Of course, but if you ask a Shomer Mitzvahs Jew this question, you're referring to a Shomer Mitzvahs?
Right, that's what I'm saying. En Adam, we're not talking about Napikores. We're saying the average person, when he sins, Chazal say it's because it was taken by a moment of foolishness. Why did they call it foolishness? To stress the fact that it's an inconsistency. It's not really him. And that, I think, is one of the messages we should take with us into tonight, into Yom Kippur, which is what I began class with last night, that a person should start Yom Kippur and tell himself, where do I want to be in 24 hours? Who am I? And the real me is the me without the foolishness. He asked me what I believe in. That's what I believe in. So Yom Kippur gives us a day a year to attain clarity. We're not busy with the physical things. Now we have to take that clarity and have it affect the rest of our lives. Shabbat Shalom.